I don't see it in the bulletin. Yes, it is. This Friday and Saturday is the first Friday and Saturday of the month, and masses will be in this church as usual. Next Sunday is Montgomery Sunday. There'll be no mass in Birmingham next Sunday. And Friday, a week from now, or a week from this Friday, December the 8th, is a feast of the Immaculate Conception and is a holy day of obligation. And because this first class feast falls on Friday this year, meat may be eaten at all meals on that day. It is an old teaching of the Catholic Church. Also, if you cannot attend Mass on that day, at least take the time to spend 1 hour in meditation or prayer or spiritual reading, and ask Our Lady to help us and to help this world we live in. The eve of the Immaculate Conception is a day of fast and abstinence. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And He will send forth His angels with a trumpet and a great sound, and they will gather His elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. My good people, when we hear those words, gathering His elect, we have a tendency, at least subconsciously, to include ourselves in that number, don't we? But how dare we? If we only knew, or if we could only judge ourselves as God is going to judge us. We judge ourselves by the things we do, the Catholic things we do. God is going to judge us by the things that we are, what we are, not what we do. If we just do Catholic things, we come to church every Sunday, but it doesn't take much of an excuse for us to miss Mass. It doesn't take much of an excuse for us to become late and to leave early. We spend more attention on how we look to the other people than how we look to God. But if we are Catholic, we come to church not because we have to, but because we want to give God the honor that is His due. And in preparation for that occasion, if we are Catholic, we prepare ourselves interiorly. We become concerned about what we are, not what we do. If we are Catholic, the things we do will be Catholic, but they will be real. They will be coming from the inside out. There won't be a coat that we put on and then take off. Over the years in this abbey, we've had many, many visitors. At two different times, we had two different traditional priests, I won't give their names, visit us at different times, actually within a week of each other, ironically, some years ago. The one priest, an older priest, walked into the monastery door, leaning on his cane, didn't say a word, but it was as if a ray of sunshine had walked in, as if God himself had walked in. Everybody was automatically drawn to him. He spoke very little. And when he said Mass, because of his age, he fumbled. But his Mass was the closest thing to an angelic Mass that you'll ever see, because he was Catholic. He was holy. On the other hand, a week or so later, another priest comes to visit us, a younger priest. And this time, it was like an ice cube had walked in. There was a chill over the house. He acted holy. He talked holy. He did holy things. His Mass was almost flawless, depending on how you judge it. But he repelled us. We had no desire to be near him. He was cold. And without judging his soul, but just looking at the external, he was wearing Catholicism. He was acting as a Catholic should act, as he thought a Catholic priest should act. But you could tell from looking it was shallow. My good people, it's the inside, it's the being that matters. Not the externals. The externals follow automatically. If we're cold inside, if we're dead inside, no matter how much paint we put on, no matter how many Catholic things we do, the coldness will still come out. On the other hand, if we are Catholic and are holy, no matter how much we fumble and bumble, our holiness will come out. It will attract others. It will lead to God, not repel. But it's so hard for us dumb humans to look in the mirror and see ourselves as others see us, and as God ultimately will see us. And if we are Catholic, instead of acting or doing Catholic things, those of you who are parents will do the things that are necessary, even the non-religious things, in a Catholic way. There won't be any rigidity, no falseness, no Jansenism. It will be real. And we will see the parent, we'll see life in its reality. And we'll see Catholicism as it was meant to be and as it used to be taught and lived. Unfortunately, too many of us traditionalists, even us parents, have a warped concept of Catholicism, a misinformed, an uninformed, and we're too proud to admit that we might be wrong. Our poor children are being raised in an empty atmosphere. They're being forbidden to read certain classic stories that are simply for entertainment, such as the fantasy tales, like the Tales of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, and The Hobbit. I can't remember his name. I never could pronounce it. And there's a new series out, the Harry Potter books. These are being condemned. I have personally read the C.S. Lewis books and The Hobbit, and I've read a critique about the Harry Potter books. My good people, yes, they involve magic, and they involve witches, and so forth, but it's pure entertainment. And any Catholic with half a iota of reasonableness, and even the children, when they're to that age where they can read those kind of books, if they've been taught properly, if they've been given the proper example, they will understand that it's purely entertainment and it's perfectly legitimate. I know traditional families that forbid even certain old classic movies and cartoons, like Mary Poppins and The Wizard of Oz, for the same reason. But if we see them as they really are, they're beautiful forms of entertainment and innocence. But if we deny our children these innocent pleasures and we find things in them that aren't there, we just think they're there. And I know there are some of you who are disagreeing with me, but I'm sorry. If we deny our children these innocent forms of entertainment and forbid them to read certain books, as I mentioned, my good people, I don't care how much you deceive yourselves or blind yourselves, they're going to read them sooner or later and see them sooner or later or do them sooner or later or play them sooner or later, whatever it may be. But without the guidance that they should have, and then they go wrong. And not only that, but when you restrict a child, and believe me, I do know what I am talking about, when you restrict a child in that way, that child ends up doing what you're restricting anyway, but in a much worse way. And my good people, I don't know how aware you are of it, but there's tons of garbage out there that is available for any kid that has half a sense of how to get things done. And believe me, any kid can get anything he wants today if he wants it bad enough. But we don't see that. We blind ourselves with our pride. And we think that by denying them the good, innocent pleasures, we think we are doing them a favor. We're shielding them. My good people, I only wish I could convince everybody on earth that that is far from the truth. And the same thing boils over into our holidays, the innocent things like Halloween and trick-or-treating, or Christmas and Santa Claus, or Easter and the Easter Bunny. These are perfectly innocent, legitimate forms of entertainment and pastime for the children, with all due safety precautions taken into consideration, of course. When we deny our children these innocent pastimes because we find something bad in them, we're hurting them, and they're the next generation of parents. And it gets worse and worse. We confuse Catholicism in their minds, and they learn to hate it and everything about it. And as soon as they get old enough, they're gone. I've seen it happen over and over and over, almost without exception. There's nothing wrong with Santa Claus. And incidentally, we have sometimes a mistaken notion that Santa Claus is a takeoff from St. Nicholas. That is not so. There are two distinct festivities or feast days. St. Nicholas has his own special little feast day. In the old days, somebody used to dress up as a bishop and go around and give the kids treats, but not related to Christmas at all. So my good people, I beg you, during this season of Advent, to look deep into ourselves, each one of us, individually, and see ourselves, and ask Our Lady, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, ask her to help us to see ourselves as we will be seen when Christ comes to call His elect. Because when He does call, and to our surprise and shock, we find that we aren't a member of that elect, it's too late. It's too late. There's no second chance. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.